We don't have a whole lot of people, but we got a lot of talent. Amen. Amen. Quality, not quantity. Let's go to the book of Proverbs this morning. Glad to have all of you here this morning. And those who are listening by CD, thank God for the thousands that are here this morning. By faith, amen. Amen. Proverbs, very, very powerful. I want to talk about the power of conversation today. The power of conversation. This has been on my heart for a few weeks, and the Lord is so awesome how he speaks to me, and he'll let you see things, and I just begin to observe people. You know, everywhere you go now, somebody's got a cell phone or something in their hand, and people's talking all over the world. It's amazing how we can just dial a couple of numbers and talk all over the world. There's a lot of power in conversation, and God wants us to learn something about that. And I want us to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied. We're in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly, or his appetite, or his drive for life, his hunger, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his, what's the next word? Mouth. And with increase of his lips shall he be filled. That's power. I'm going to read that again. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Look at the next verse. Death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And they that have it shall eat the fruit thereof. May God bless his word this morning. Father, anoint your word this morning. Give us only that we need to say. Lord, I'm just a vessel. I do not have what it takes to do this job, but you will anoint me and give me what it takes. And I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to help me lead and guide and direct your people in this last day so that we'll know what to say and how to say it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One thing I've learned about God is that God is a God of order. He's a God of standard. When God created this world, he created systems. When he created systems, they were implanted in this world and never will change. Sort of like that the harvest system, sowing and reaping, will always be here because that's a system that God implanted in the world. But when God created the world, think about it real clearly. How did he create it? He spoke it into existence. God could have done it any way. He's God. He could have waved his hand. He could have just thought it. But he spoke it. And when he began to speak, things begin to happen. So there's a power of words. I want you to get this. Quality of your life depends on the words you speak. The quality of your life depends on the words you speak. And I can always tell where I'm at in my life by the words I speak. I can always tell if I'm up or if I'm down by the words I speak. And I have to be very careful what I speak, because everything God created was used by words. In Genesis chapter 1, he says, then God said, then God said, then God said. So words were designed for agreement. Words were designed for agreement. I want you to get that. That's important that you get that. Words were designed for agreement. We either agree with life or we agree with death. Life or death are in the power of the tongue. And the reason he put the word power there is because the greatest power you have in your life is your will. Did you know that? Did you know God will not move your will, nor the devil can move your will? Your will, God can do a lot of things, but he'll never go against your will. We know that. Amen? So the will is powerful, and the Bible said that we were created in his image. In other words, in his likeness, just like him. In other words, just like he's put together, that's how we are put together. So one of the attacks of the enemy is always, 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 he attacks truth. How does he attack truth? He distorts truth. Amen? We've always heard the saying, everything don't, you know, just because it looks a certain way don't mean it is a certain way. And how many of you know that we are systematic people in the fact that we are human beings with a fivefold senses? Every one of us has got five senses. We see, we touch, we smell, we feel. That's how we're made up. But I want to tell you, there are times when those senses can work against you. Amen? Because when God is speaking, sometimes, a lot of times, it's not what you see. So the power of agreement is found in who are we going to agree? It's like Joshua said that day, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? And we got to understand that the creative power of our life, and look, we create. Whether we realize it or not, we agree. Whether we realize it or not, by what we say. We agree with life or we agree with death. Have you ever spoken to people and when you left you felt worse than when you did when you got there? Because when they laid their words on you, you left, man, I was semi-depressed when I went, but now I'm fully depressed. Amen? I'm 100%. Because I just don't believe you're going to make it. You know, stuff like that, you know. Lord have mercy. That's why it's so important when you are going through things to make sure who you are around. Get this. Our words need to be in agreement with what God says. Now I'm beginning to understand why it's so important that I learn the word. Now it's more important to me that I study the word to show myself approved, that I may learn what God says. There's a couple things I want to share with you today. Only 2 points I want to share with you today. Number one, words connect us to God. Words connect us to God. And boy, when he laid this on me, I wrote it down because I did not want to forget it, because this is powerful right here. Words are the transfer from the natural to the supernatural. Glory to God. How many of you know we serve a supernatural God? How many of you know we serve a God that is above the natural? It's not natural to walk on water. It's not natural to throw a stick in the water and it roll back and they walk on dry ground. That is not natural. It is not natural to take a few loaves of bread and a few fishes and feed thousands. It is not natural. You cannot figure it out. My five senses says there is no way. But in God's eyes, he is the way. Amen? He is the way. And where there seemeth to be no way, we need to add to that, in the natural, we serve a supernatural God that if I can agree with his word, amen. If I can agree, God, you said it in your word. If I can agree with your word and believe your word, I know you will not lie. Whew, boy, that's good. How many of you know God does not lie? Amen. So listen, the words are our transfer from the supernatural to the natural. Where God is where we are. He gave me some good stuff. Now I wrote it down. And I said, God, this is good stuff. Just like he didn't know. Amen. You do. God, this is good. This will preach. I'm kind of giving you that for this reason. Amen. Where God is, that's where we are. What are you talking about? The Bible said he never leave us nor forsakes. Isn't that right? How many times when you're going through something does the devil always say, where's God? Where's he at? Boy, he's left you. You got to go through all this by yourself. He don't care anything about you. You remember you're not good. You remember you said something the other day or you thought something the other day and you're not good enough. You remember all that. Boy, we start listening to all that storm. Starts rocking the boat and we begin to get fearful because we're looking at the waves and we're not looking at the wave walker. Amen. And we get down and out because we're human, because we got five senses that every day you get up, praise the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it, but your body says you don't feel like it. Amen. Come on, y'all. Oh, I know all of y'all get up and run 5 miles every day and squeeze your own orange juice and all that. I know all that. Amen. I'm talking about us other people. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. God said, I want y'all to get this. You're not getting it. I want you to get this. So he sent us Jesus, and I'm going to give you some scriptures just for time's sake. Just write them down. We will read a couple of scriptures this morning, but for time's sake, just write them down. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. You remember I said a while ago, when God said, God said, God said, that's the principle. So it says in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In other words, God created the words. That's why you can't take away from this Word. That's why you can't add to this Word. And you can't take away from this Word. This is God's holy Word. And men today will tell you, oh, you don't need that. Oh, that's not real. That's... Go ahead and say all you want to say, but all I know, I'm going to claim all 66 books because I need from the old to the new. Amen. I need to know his word. It is the infallible word of God. Amen. And nobody will ever convince me of anything else. So he established the word. And look what it said. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, or he created the word. And look what it says. And the Word was God. John 1 and 1. John 1, 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Who is that? Jesus. And dwelt among us. Psalm 107 and 20. This is powerful. He sent his Word and healed them. The Word. You see, sin separated us from God. Satan went in there. And do you remember what Satan said? Do you remember what he told Adam and Eve? Did God say? Amen? Did he really say, don't eat of that tree? Did God say? So what is he trying to do right there? In the very beginning of time, he was bringing something to substitute the Word. I want to tell you something. When you're going through something in life, when you're going through a hard time, thank God for friends, thank God for prayer partners, thank God for people you can call. But let me tell you something. There are times in your life when you must hear from God and God alone. Because when you get a word from God, when you get a word from God, you say, what does that mean? I hear that all the time. What does that mean? Get a word from God. Everybody wants a word from God. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you about it. Let's go back to the natural realm where we can understand. I love my children, and you love your children. How many of you women, mothers, give your child a word? Put your coat on. Don't be late. Make sure you eat your lunch. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. And don't matter how old they are. Amen? Hey, I mean, how old they are. Teresa, she embarrasses her. Sometimes she'll grab them and hug them, go to straighten up their shirt and kissing them and all. Now, make sure you do this. Mama, I'm grown. Amen. You know, they don't never need us till they need us. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about? You know what you're doing? You are in the natural giving a word. That's mama's word. Mama said it. Amen. Y'all know mama said it, so it's got to be right. Amen. Well, same thing in the spiritual realm. God said it. So see it. So devils got in there. God made this creation. He gave them everything in the world they needed. But there again, his will. Someone said one time, why did he put that tree in there? It just messed up everything. Because he wanted you to be in there because you wanted to be there. Does that make sense? So sin separated us. You know what the deal is? They said, did God say it? So they didn't believe the word. They believed a lie. And we're in the last days right now. And I want to tell you, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit will always back up the word. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three, yet they are one. And they never, get this, they never contradict neither one. Amen? If somebody ever tells you, comes in and says, I got a word from God, and it don't go along with this word, it didn't come from God. Because God does not counteract his word. Amen. That's good. All right. So how do we begin a relationship with God? Let's go to Romans. That is one place I want you to turn. Go to the New Testament, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Y'all know where I'm going with this. Romans chapter 10. This is good. Words connect us to God. Words connect us to God. Verse 8, Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy, what's the next part? Mouth. And in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, he's laying a foundation there. Paul's laying a foundation there of the principle of God. God uses words. Now, look at the next verse, verse 9. That. Now, the word that is connected to what was just said. So, what he's saying is now, what saith it? What is the principle? The word is nigh thee. King James vernacular. But look at verse 9. That, in other words, that principle that God established is this. If you will confess with your what? Mouth. You see that? And look at the next part. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that powerful? God, our words connect us to God. Now let's go down to verse. I want to read all of them. I want to read all, but I ain't got time. Verse 13. For whosoever, look at the woman side of you and say, you're a whosoever. But you ain't never been called that before. You're a whosoever. Shall is a powerful word, because that word shall means I'm in agreement. Word shall has everything to do with your will. That little word shall. If I can line my will up with the word, not how I feel, not what I'm going through, not what I see, but if I can trust God, will, you're going to trust God. Flesh, you're going to trust God. I know what you're telling me, but I'm going with the word of God, because flesh, you let me down too many times. Is anybody here with me ever let you, has your flesh ever let you down? Has God ever let you down? No. We don't understand everything he does, but he don't let us down. But look at this. This is good right here. You know I love one word. So I get hung on one word. Whosoever shall call. Call is a directive word. My words. I'm going to accept the principle of God. And I tell you, Will, you're going to speak His word. Let me tell you how crazy this is. Sometimes you need to put it on the refrigerator. Sometimes you need to put it on the dashboard of your car. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a scripture. Amen? Have you ever done that? Have you ever written down a scripture that God gave you and you put it on something, maybe a mirror when you're getting ready in the mornings? And why are you doing that? The whole time you're doing that, that's so stupid. Why are you doing all that? You want to know why? Because that is the word. And your flesh is saying, oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. Did God really say? Yes, He did say. And that's what He said. And God, I choose, I shall believe what you said. Y'all know that battle. Amen. How many times Jesus want to turn away from that scripture? Amen. I don't know what was wrong with me when I put that all over my dash. I don't know why that's all on my dash. You know what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can get through with this one verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, you see that? You see that? Confession. Confession is speaking the word. Amen. Words connect us to God if you believe in your heart. Now, what does that mean? That means if I come in, my belief is I agree with what you're saying, God. I agree with what you're saying, God, and confess it with my mouth and believe. If I confess with my mouth and believe, I come in agreement. This is powerful, y'all, because we're in the last days. It's my responsibility as your pastor in this last days, not to fluff you up, not to powder you up, not to just give you something a little sweet and go home. We're in the last days. Right now, events are lining up all over the world for the end time. And it's important every time I stand in this pulpit to make sure I have given you what God said. So in the process of that, God has anointed me to pastor this church to give you the word so that the word will direct you through these hard times. Because of the times that we are living in now and what we're getting ready to go in, you are not going to be able to go by what you think or what you see. Amen? All right. Now, I want to show you something. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Amen. Punch that one beside him and say, you need to wake up. This is good right here. Amen. Get this. I didn't want to write it down, but he told me to write it down because it's so true. Because it steps on my toes sometimes. But here's what he told me to write down. What we really believe comes out of our mouth. What we really believe comes out of our mouth. Well, I tell you right now, I ain't going to get no better. There ain't nothing going to change in my life. I tell you right, and look, we all get there. I don't care who you are. I don't care who, if you the Pope, if he be real, he's going to tell you he has bad days. Paul said, when I want to do good, I just can't do it. Paul said that. Man wrote a third of the New Testament. I think he knows what he's talking about. Amen? Jesus said, if there's any other way, he was in the flesh. You know, we think about Jesus as he was here on earth. Oh, he was the Son of God. He was, but he was operating in the flesh. And he knelt in that garden. He said, God, there's got to be another way because I don't want to do this. Amen. Hang with me now. What comes out of your mouth is what you really believe. Now, go to Matthew chapter 12. Let me say this. I just heard the Holy Spirit tell me to tell you this. Real friends will love you more when you're in trouble. Real friends, the Bible says it. A friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. What does that mean? A real friend will tell you I need to talk to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your attitude stinks. That's a real friend. Amen? Amen. That's a real friend. So, listen. We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Because we need to surround ourselves and say, I want you to help me as my friend. If you start hearing stuff come out of my mouth that ain't right, will you correct me? Will you correct me? Amen. Will you help me not get in that place? Because I need God. I need everything God has. But I understand. I go through weak times. You know what? That's why the Bible said if a brother goes through a fault, ye which are spiritual. You know what that means? That doesn't mean how many, the ones, you know, that's got all this religion. It just means the ones who are flowing in the anointing of God. Ye which are spiritual, restore. We need friends who are going to restore us and say, I want to just tell you this. I love you. I love you. I love you. But your attitude's wrong. Amen? Because let me tell you how critical it is. This is how critical it is. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Y'all give me a few more minutes. I got about 30 more minutes. Amen. Amen. Wherefore, verse 31 of chapter 12. Anybody ever heard about blaspheming the Holy Ghost? When I grew up, I was scared to death of that. I come up in the Pentecostal church, and you know, they did a lot of stuff, and one thing they did is scare you to death. And then I heard them preaching on that, and I just lived in such a fear for a long time because I didn't want to lose God, didn't want to, you know, miss heaven, and I just scared to death that I was going to do something wrong. And blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, as a lot of other things, has been misled people in understanding what it really means. All right, here we're going to tell you what it really means here this morning, but I'm telling you, you got to be careful what comes out of your mouth. It says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. So let's break that down just a minute, because what does blasphemy mean? Because we heard that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, then you're doomed for hell. So it just said right there that wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. So there again comes that unlearned and ignorance that a lot of people want to scare you to death with. I don't want to scare you. I want to give you the truth. I want no few people, when they're standing in a crowd and somebody starts talking this crazy junk, you stand on the word. So let me tell you what the word says. Amen. Blasphemy just simply means evil speaking. Evil speaking. That's what blasphemy means. Evil, evil, evil speaking. But even those that are evil can be saved. Amen. Shall be forgiven unto man, but the blasphemy is there, separation of the Holy Ghost, shall not be forgiven. Now, what is this talking about? So there's a twofold thing there that we need to understand. Let's read on. And whosoever speaketh a word, here's the next word, against. Now that's the word that you need to cling to. That's the word. There's such an anointing in this place right now. That the word the devil's trying to put in you so that you will reject. So this blasphemy is rejection. Rejection. Now, a word against the Son of Man. Listen to this. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven unto them. But whosoever speak against the Holy Ghost, stay with me now, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So that's powerful right there. Let me explain it to you. Amen. Verse 33. And here's an analogy. I'm going to talk about a tree, and I'm going to talk about fruit. Tree is the heart. Fruit is the mouth. Okay? Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by the fruit. You see that right there? So what is he saying right here? What is God trying? Going down to verse 37. For by thy words, your words shall be justified by the way the words that shall be condemned. In other words, your words are going to set you free, or your words are going to condemn you. Now let me tell you what the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is about right here. It's the will of God that everybody be saved. It's the will of God that nobody be lost. But unpardonable sin is a continual rejection of God and a rejection of His grace and a rejection of His mercy. Rejection, it's not a single act. It's not something you do because, you know, we were all running around. I'm scared. I just don't want to do nothing. It's not what you do. It's an action of your life that you simply resist and reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? You resist the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's talk about where we're living at right now. In the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them. That's what he said, right? But also he said that in the last days, men's hearts are going to be seared. Their conscience is going to be seared. 15 times this year, has somebody gone in a school or some kind of assembly and murdered people. Now we're getting real, don't we? Now we're getting real. Wayne Community. Y'all remember that? A few months ago, Wayne Community, right down the road. Ain't talking about New York or New Jersey, but Wayne Community. Young man went in there and shot and killed an individual. Well, people, now why in the world people just, let me tell you what's happening. They are blaspheming the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost has continually tried to minister to them, and they keep saying, no, I don't want you. And there is a time when the Holy Spirit will not bother you anymore. And when He don't bother you no more, He turns you over to a reprobate mind, and that mind becomes seared, and you can stand there with an assault rifle and just blow the brains out of people around you and don't feel nothing. Am I making sense this morning? Now, what does all that mean with me, preacher? I ain't going to do that. Be careful now. Be careful of that. Be careful of a hard heart. When the Holy Spirit... The greatest thing we have in the church today is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not here now as far as in the flesh. Sometimes I wish He was, because sometimes you just need a flesh person to talk to. You know what I'm talking about? But He said, I'm going to leave you now because I got to go. But I'm going to send you another comforter. Oh, you got to get this, church. You got to get this. Because that's why the devil fights you tooth and nail. So... that you will resist Him. I just feel led. Can you give me a few more minutes? I got to get this to you. I got to read it again. Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against, see that word against, underline that word against, the Holy Ghost. What is the ministry of the Holy Ghost? This is a word, church. What is the ministry of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost draws men unto salvation. What does the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost reveals the Word. The Bible says that God said, let there be. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost moved upon the earth and creation started. So what does He do? The Holy Ghost fulfills the Word. Amen. You see that? He fulfills the Word. So when the Holy Spirit of God begins to minister into your life and you keep telling Him, no, no, no. After a while, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, there'll come a time when my spirit will not always strive with man. Amen. and then he'll just back away. Now, I pray that America, I'm going to tell you, America's had some hard times. Stay with me now. I know it's getting late, but the anointing's in here, and I got to tell you this stuff. This is more important than any piece of chicken you're getting ready to eat. Amen? We're in the last days, and it is critical. It is critical that you know what the Word says. Unpardonable sin is a rejection of the Holy Ghost, and is done by the mouth. I don't want it. I renounce. Why do you think, let me tell you, why do you think the devil is always trying to get you to counterfeit what God said? God said, give $20. And you say, well, I'm going to give 10. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? God said, go call so-and-so at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you call somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning, it better be God. Amen. But the point is, we're connected to God by the words. The second thing, let me finish. I want you to get that right there because it's important. It's important. It's important. I don't know, the Holy Spirit's in here. Don't let your heart to get hard. And I'm going to tell you something. That is easier done than said. Either it's easier said than done. I'm telling you that. Because every one of us get mad at God. Every one of us go through times when we don't understand and we just throw a fit. Has anybody here ever thrown a fit? Amen. And you know what? God loves us so much because you know what? He knows that ain't in your heart. But be careful of the enemy trying to get into your heart. The second thing, and then we're going to go home. Words connect us to each other. This is good. This is good. Back in Proverbs chapter 18, words connect us to God and words connect us with each other. He gave me this and I wrote it down because it was good. Anytime you've ever had a problem with a human being, it's always been a disconnect with people. Anytime you've ever had a disconnect with somebody, it's always been words involved. Isn't that true? Yeah. What they said, what they done, whatever, but words. Have you ever said something to somebody you regret? Amen. That's why we've got to be careful of our words, because words, life, and death. Relationships, you got to get this right here. Men, we really need this. Relationships are good because of words. Or relationships are bad because of words. Marriages are good because of words. Or marriages are bad because of words. We need to love one another as Christ loved us, and the best way to love somebody is with your words. How many times, men, and let's talk to the men, because I is one, so I know more about men than I know about the women. We got to be careful how we speak to our mates, to our children, because we're created. When you're told that you're just an idiot, you're just stupid, you're never going to amount to nothing, you know good and well that sometimes fathers have said that over their children, haven't they? That's the worst thing. You just will sentence them off then. And I'm going to tell you something else. Husbands, stop speaking death over your spouse. Speak good things over your spouses. Whatever relationship you're in, you say, whatever relationship you're in, who is the main person in your relationship right now, in a physical relationship? And you need to begin to stop and think, how am I speaking to them? Am I speaking life into them? Or am I speaking death into them? Am I speaking life into my family? Or am I speaking death into my family? Let me hurry up and give you this. 7 divine words of a real relationship. Seven divine words. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Seven divine words that will heal a relationship. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Well, I tell you right now, that sounds good and all that, but you don't know what they did to me. Come on now. You don't know what they said. You don't know. And that's the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. I've learned. I'm going through experience right now where I have been beat on this thing right here because I was done wrong. And the flesh wants to lash out. Amen? Anybody ever heard the term slap the taste out of their mouth? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever wanted to slap the taste out of somebody's mouth? Y'all going to sit there out like you're so holy. You know what? I just have communion every single night at home. That's the flesh. But if I want relationships to be healed, you got to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Let me tell you six words that come short of healing. Six words that come short of healing. I need to ask you forgiveness. I don't know whatever I did, but I reckon I need to ask you forgiveness. You know they don't mean it. But when somebody comes to you and says, listen, I was wrong. I admit it. I flew off the handle. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm going to tell you right now, that'll bring healing to a relationship. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is moving today in this church. And we have opportunity right now. Every one of us have opportunity with something going on in our life to get negative. Every one of us. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. There are going to be days you are going to be negative because we're human. But that's when we recognize the signs of what we're going through and we call somebody that we believe in or whatever and say, I need you to pray for me and not having a good day. We need to be strong enough in our own self to say, I need God more than I need anything else. I'm going to ask you to take the hand of the one beside of you right now. We're going to come in agreement that we are going to begin to learn to speak the power of life in our situations. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the value of conversation. We thank you, Lord, for the power of conversation. And Lord, this morning we ask you to forgive us for the times that we have not used the proper word in our situations. Lord, we know that when we begin to speak negative, that just hinders everything. But God, there's times when we need you to help us not to be negative because we are negative. We're hurting and we're going through a lot and we don't know what to do sometimes. But I'm so glad of your grace and so glad of your mercy that you forgive us and love us. And Lord, as long as we want you in our heart, you will continue to come in our heart. And I thank you for that. Lord, I don't know what's going on in the lives of these people here today, but you do. Lord, I don't know what kind of relationships may need to be healed, but I know that you do. But I know the main relationship that we got to work on every day is our relationship between us and you. Because there's an enemy out there who wants us to think that we're losing and he's winning. But that's a lie. Circumstances will say one thing, but your word says another. God, we ask you to give us an unquenchable desire to study more of your word. God, give us an unquenchable desire to learn more about you. And when we speak your word, believe in our heart, it shall be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning.